Good morning. It's time for the Ship Report, the show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. It's Tuesday, April 23rd, 2019. We have about a dozen vessels on today's Columbia River ship schedule. In our marine weather forecast, we've got northwest winds up to 10 knots today, gusting to 15 in the afternoon. Wind waves from the northwest 2 feet high at about 4 seconds apart, and west swells 8 feet at 12 seconds. Conditions in the ocean off the mouth of the Columbia River this morning from a data buoy. We have winds from the west about 8 knots, gusting to 10 already. Wind waves about 7 feet high at 10 seconds apart from the west. Air temperature 51 degrees, water temperature 53 degrees. As the ocean is warming up a little bit, because we have had a little bit of sunshine here and there, and the ocean warms up slowly, but it tends to hold the heat more than the land. But the ocean and the air temperature in the mornings have been about the same for the past couple of weeks. And today we're going to be talking about, kind of inspired by a listener question that I got about a boat that was a small sailboat that was anchored off the bank of the Columbia near the Maritime Museum that is kind of a familiar vessel out there if you're a vessel watcher like I am. And that is a person, I would imagine, who lives aboard their boat. So I thought we would talk a little bit today about living aboard. But first, let's take a look at, speaking of living aboard, people coming and going on these vessels, these big ships today coming into the river. We have one inbounder so far, the Buena Ventura, arriving from Mexico, headed for Longview. She's headed to the Longview, the Weyerhaeuser salt docks, and her cargo is industrial salt, which is used in the making of wood pulp, which may be why it's involved in Weyerhaeuser. They handle a lot of paper, and they do ship wood pulp out. They handle wood pulp in that Longview dock. And I was just looking up uses, industrial uses for salt, and discovered that only 6% of the world's production of salt is used for food, and the rest is all used for different industrial uses. The Buena Ventura will be passing Astoria around 12:30 p.m. She'll arrive in Longview around 4 p.m. In our Astoria anchorages, we have seven ships, and they're all but one are awaiting orders. The CSSC Hamai is headed for Kalama today. Corn, soy, or wheat could be her cargo that she'll be picking up there. Leaving around 8 a.m., Kalama around 1 p.m. That leaves the Nord Pluto, the Bali, the BLC First, the Scythia Graeca, the BTG Rainier, and the Star Amber awaiting orders off the downtown waterfront. In our outbounders, the Frederica Oldendorf is heading out of Portland with potash on board. She's leaving the Port of Portland around 12:30 p.m., could pass Astoria outbound around 6:30 p.m. The RGL First is heading out of Kalama, corn, soy, or wheat on board there, leaving around 1 p.m., passing Astoria outbound around 6 p.m. The Global Heart is heading out of Vancouver carrying bentonite clay, leaving around 7 p.m., passing Astoria outbound around 1 a.m. on Wednesday. Of course, you're waiting, if you listen to me very often, you're waiting for me to say kitty litter, which is one of the uses, many uses of bentonite clay. How often do you get to say kitty litter on the radio? But it's because it is a mineral that is very, very absorbent. It's used in a lot of industrial and other business uses to absorb impurities out of things. It's used to clarify wine. So it has a lot of, it's very heavily traded. There's a lot of bentonite clay out there being sold. And we see a lot of it going out of the Columbia River here in bulk carriers. The Ipsy Colossus is leaving Vancouver carrying wheat, leaving around 11 p.m., passing Astoria outbound around 5 a.m. on Wednesday. Let's talk a little bit about living aboard. Let me tell you a little bit about this listener question. A listener emailed me a couple days ago saying, what's with that boat that's anchored off right near the shore, a little bit east of the Maritime Museum, the area where behind City Lumber there, if you're familiar with Astoria's waterfront. And I went down there and took a look, and it is a boat that I have seen before anchored out there. Sometimes you do see sailboats anchored off the waterfront, not that often. But this boat I've seen before, and so I thought, I think it is a person who lives on board, and I thought it would be interesting to just talk a little bit about living aboard a boat. It's kind of a dream for a lot of people. Some people, we do have a small community of people here who do live aboard their boats. I know some people, at least one person who moved here living aboard a boat and then transitioned onto land. And so there's a very romantic thing sort of about living on your boat. And some people do it for a while, some people do it for a long time. But I thought I'd talk a little bit about what some of the issues are when you live aboard a relatively small boat. Now, this particular boat is anchored off there apparently fairly often. People have told me that they've seen it. The police department keeps an eye on it there. It seems to be anchored why that spot. I was looking at the Astoria waterfront and realized that that spot there is actually fairly sheltered from heavy southwest winds, which is where a lot of our winds tend to, prevailing winds tend to come from here. If you look at the coastline of Astoria, there's a little bit of a almost not quite a cove, but a little bend in the coastline there that would cause that to be a relatively sheltered place. It's out of the main channel. It's also out of the area next to the channel where the pilot boats go and other fishing vessels and things. So it's sort of out of the way. And out of the heavy current in the river. So that seems to be a really good spot. And I would imagine that that person who lives on that boat knows the river pretty darn well and has figured out the best spot when they want to anchor. So people who live aboard boats have basically two options. They can anchor out, as this person seems to do fairly often, or they can live in a marina. That costs money. So depending on what you want to do, you might either live in a marina or anchor out. People who live in marinas have access to shore facilities like showers and perhaps laundry. Those are issues for people on board boats. If you look at this particular boat, you could see a metal object spinning on the deck. And if you see, live aboard boats tend to have extra gear that allows them to generate power because they're living off the grid on a boat. And so people need things like electricity, lights, water, things like that. So that was probably a wind generator that I saw on that boat yesterday. Sometimes you'll see solar panels. People sometimes have water purifiers. I met an interviewed years ago a couple who lived on a power boat at the Warrenton Marina, and they were travelers. They were traveling up and down the West Coast. They were both retired executives who had invested their money well. They had a lot of money to live on. They had a really lovely trawler style kind of a cabin cruiser kind of thing. And they would go around from one community to another. They stopped here. They bought an inexpensive used car so that they could run to Fred Meyer. And they were really enjoying themselves. Now, that's two people on a relatively small boat. I think their boat was about 40 feet long. That's a small space for two people to be in. And these folks seem to be extremely compatible with one another. So I remember saying, well, do you ever just go off by yourselves and separately just to give yourself some space? And they were like, oh, no, we're fine. We love to do things together. So an example of being extremely compatible with the person that you live with might be a good option. I think if you're a person who lives on a boat, you need to like to tinker with things because boats are under a lot of strain from water and wind and weather. So things are always breaking. People who live on boats are very handy and know how to fix a lot of different things and have cause to fix them because when you're in an environment that's battered by the weather as much, things are going to be breaking. But that's a little bit about what it's like to live on board. There are magazines devoted to living on board and websites for people who are interested in this. There's a lot you could look up online if you're interested. You've been listening to The Ship Report, a show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. Thanks for listening and have a great day.